This is Conquering Columbus.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Conquering Columbus. I'm your host Alex Avery, and today on the show I'm sitting down with Zach and Hannah Bowers, the founders of Little Diggers. What began right here in Columbus as a simple idea for sensory hands-on play has grown into a destination for young families. And now they're a brand expanding across the country. Little Diggers gives kids a place to dig, build, and explore while parents can slow down, grab a cup of coffee, or actually play alongside them. We'll talk about how Zach and Hannah built a community-first concept. We'll talk about what it takes to scale a family-focused business nationally, and why Columbus was the perfect place to start it all. Let's get into it.
My name is Zach Bowers, and I'm CEO of Little Diggers. We are an indoor play space company that specializes in giant indoor construction-themed sandboxes.
And I'm Hannah Bowers, and I'm the director of marketing and really have my hands in all things marketing and community building and partnerships.
Amazing. Thank you guys for joining on the show. We're excited to kind of dive into everything, but I would love to hear more about how you guys met and how did you guys end up becoming entrepreneurs together?
Yeah, I'd say that the entire duration of our 11 years of marriage has been a bit unconventional in nature. We first met in broadcast, of all things. So our careers did not start in giant indoor sandboxes, believe it or not.
Yeah, far from it. I think it was an old airport hangar.
That's true, yeah. So we were in broadcast, doing sports broadcasting together. I was leading a couple production teams at the time, and that's when I first met Hannah. And she came to work at the broadcast station. But I think most intriguing to me and where things led was that she was traveling the country singing and doing concerts, and she needed a roadie. And I thought, hey, I can do that.
Yeah, we were really lacking in the department of anything technical, which if you know, any musical instrument requires someone who knows how to plug in and troubleshoot, and that wasn't us. So he came along and was happy to just kind of mesh in with the dynamic that we had going on with being on the road and a lot of car time and then back home for games and then back out again. So it was a really creative and unique era of our lives, wearing a lot of different hats and just experiencing a lot of unique things all in one short period of time.
I think that was where I really came to love and appreciate the unconventional nature of Hannah, and really where we started to dream big, if you will, about, you know, not just can we do this, but it's sure we can, how do we do it? And so following that, we just launched into obviously marriage. But through that journey have really along the way had a number of different ventures together. I was graduating from business school at the time, business graduate, but what was happening around me and being from broadcast was seeing that in the tech world, mobile apps were everything, right? If you wanted to create a product. And I love the idea of going from concept to creation of a product. And I thought, yeah, business is cool, but I want to be able to do that. And so upon graduating, dove into the software world, learned to program and how to build mobile apps. And, you know, that's where we started our ventures together. One of the first communities that Hannah and I partnered with, but she really spearheaded, was the Young Wives Club, if you want to talk about.
Yeah, that was a really cool community. So it was really niche. It was geared towards women who, like me, were really young when they got married. And what I found really fast was that there are actually a lot of women all over the place who had kind of jumped into that at an early age and didn't know anyone else who had done the same. And so we rapidly built this community. We had a Facebook community. We launched into kind of like an online magazine of sorts. And started assembling kind of this really cool hodgepodge group. The mom and the wife, well, now mom and wife, who came on with me, we basically breathed life into this thing. We're really good friends to this day. And over the course of about 2 years, we brought on a ton of volunteers. We had monthly writers. We had guest writers. We collaborated with over 50 different established authors and bloggers from all over the country. But really just kind of sparked my excitement and interest into what it looks like to build a community and then start to reach out and collaborate. And I realized really fast that collaboration is this really powerful tool that you can use to very quickly get your message out and very quickly reach audiences that you otherwise never would have tapped into.
So once again, similar to the music scene, I was behind the scenes on the technical front, supporting that. And really in parallel was further getting involved in the software world. We moved out to Colorado soon after being married. And that's where I was first introduced to really the startup ecosystem, which was very mature out in Colorado at that time. And, you know, fell in love with, again, that concept of not just creating a product, but how do you build a company around it? And, you know, fast forward a bit, had joined a team out there that we developed a first mobile app for hiring based on soft traits, matching employees and employers based on soft skills, not necessarily just the hard skills. And so while she was continuing to build the Young Wives Club, we built that product as well. And again, you know, all of this leading to where we're at today, working together, which is a unique challenge when you're a couple. How do you balance that dynamic? But out in Colorado, I would say is really where that we matured in that way before moving back to Columbus here.
That's amazing. And so tell me about how you think that dynamic played for and against this endeavor that you guys went on together. I mean, I'm sure there were times where it was like, okay, it's 24/7. Are we turning off work? Are we turning on relationships? What are we doing here? And then there's times where it's like, it's probably your superpower. So tell me a bit about how that dynamic played out.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, our superpower is working together. So whether we are on in this arena of growing this brand and business, or if we are on in, we're renovating our basement right now, which we're doing together. You know, it's kind of like every aspect is kind of on together, and we've always really thrived there. But I think when we went to Colorado, we went just us, you know, and it was this time where we in a really intense way and positively had to learn how to really thrive together and make things happen in small windows of time. And I think now you see that in the fruits of what we're working on is that we can produce really quickly and really fast just because we understand how to work together.
So yeah, we came back to Columbus after being out there. And one of the first projects we took on, not software related, was we bought a duplex. And we said, hey, again, we think we can do this. Very naive, got way in over our heads. It did work out in the end. But I'll never forget staring at Hannah while she's holding a 4x8 piece of drywall to the ceiling.
Which you've done twice.
And I'm just a little bit longer while I'm screwing it into the ceiling. And so again, just further deepening that collaboration effort. And it's certainly challenging, but we got back to Columbus. We did that together. And then I think that's when we really started to realize that, hey, we can do this together, but really it's amplifies, you know, what we're able to do.
And what would you say in terms of this catalyst from going from, okay, we're starting a bunch of different ventures, we're working together and sometimes in parallel, but a lot of it together. And then now you came to this place, to this new community of Columbus and decided to really build roots here and establish, you know, a big presence here and then expand from there. What was that decision like? Was it something you guys discussed ahead of time?
I think Columbus, you know, similar to Colorado, I was looking for that startup ecosystem as well. So the primary driver for coming back was the birth of our first son, who's now 8 years old. And so we wanted to be closer to family, but we knew that we were originally from Northwest Ohio, smaller communities, and we wanted to be closer to where, you know, there was a technology ecosystem, but just in terms of the entrepreneurship, the network and connection. So we were very intentional about coming to Columbus. And I think from there, you know, we just work to get deeper roots, like you said, in the community and establish connections. After a short time, I discovered the startups ecosystem in Columbus as well. And so right before Little Diggers, where we're at today, joined Travis Smith here in Columbus to co-found TribeBest, which is a SaaS platform still continuing today in the real estate investment space. But, you know, during that period of time, we're raising young kids. We're full on in startup mode. And so I would say that was probably the most challenging time of to date.
Yeah, that was really hard. And I think the added factor here was this really hit mid COVID. We lived in a 3-story townhouse where his office had no door and it was the first floor. And so we kind of had this compounding effect of startup life plus literally living on top of each other with a toddler whose idea of a good time was to run and jump off things. So yeah. And I think that really was the longest stretch of time that we weren't working together mm-hmm. on a project.
Yeah. And, you know, we missed that. I think in a lot of ways, when you're a spouse to a startup founder, you are
you're married to the startup.
Yeah, you're sacrificing along with everybody else there, especially when you're living and working from home. And so I think there was a period of time there where, you know, it was difficult. But I think, again, over time, we realized, hey, you know, it would be really neat to get working back together.
Okay. So you guys found, you know, obviously you found a way to work together, but you leading into it, you had software background, you had real estate background, you had understanding of kind of the ecosystem that surrounded both building a product, taking it to market, the business that needs to go around it. Mm-hmm. And then you decided to put all of that into sandboxes and, yeah, and play and playgrounds. And I'm assuming that has a lot to do with starting your own family, wanting a place that you imagined in your heads could be available for them. And now, you know, you wanted to bring that to life. I'd love to hear more about what started that and what prompted that. And obviously it's now taken off. It's a huge success and, you know, it's the rave of the town. So I would love to hear more about how you guys kind of stepped into that.
How did we discover Giant Indoor Sandboxes? Well, it's coming up on about 3 years ago, but I was stepping away from my company at the time and supposed to be taking a break. We're not real great at that either. But what we did, you know, fortunately, we haven't invented the sandbox. We always like to say that, right? That's a tried and true method for kids. And if you're from, you know, Midwest parts of the country, maybe you've seen at the county fair, the corn pits and other types of things. So, you know, we had that to go off of. But I think what we really latched on to was recognizing what was true for our own two boys at the time. And that was that they could be in the backyard with a couple of trucks, some dirt, mud, gravel, what have you. And they were just occupied for hours. And that was really important to us as parents. And so what we wanted to do is to bring that indoors. And then again, given our background, we've been very intentional about approaching it for scale. And how do we do this in a way that could rapidly be replicated in markets across the country? And so we piloted in Dublin, had a great response, which we've been very grateful for. And we moved pretty quickly to expand to Cincinnati and Cleveland, all the while learning those hard lessons, putting the processes in place, you know, so that others wouldn't have to. And, you know, that was the inspiration behind it. We've approached it very much how we approached the previous company I was at, which was a VC-backed company, a lot of focus on unit economics and understanding things that will and won't scale and trying to build the company around not just one individual, but around systems that could be applied elsewhere. And so at the beginning of 2025, after expanding our corporate locations, we did open up for franchise opportunities. And again, just really to Hannah's credit and our digital presence that is so strong, an overwhelming response to our franchise effort. I think at this point, we've had conversations in all 50 states, dozens of countries as well. And so we're really proud of that business model, but that's how it came to be. But then on the flip side, and Hannah, you can speak to this, we do care about kids, right? We want to see kids thrive and specifically thrive in the physical realm.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we're really passionate about giving kids the space to be hands-on and manipulate physical elements. And, you know, we're not anti-digital. Obviously, he's got a software background. I have multiple digital creative projects behind me. We love that. But we are really big on, you know, giving our kids, and now through the play spaces and the other things that we're developing, you know, giving them a space where they have the freedom to try and to take what's in their head and make it to be actually something in front of them. Zach always likes to bring up the story of when our son decided to do a Pinewood Derby car. And it was, or, you know, you get the little block of wood and you've got to take that and mold it into something. And he had these huge dreams for what this
big
piece
designs
of wood was going to be. Like, he's all about the Tesla Roadster. And so it's going to be a little bit of that in it. And it was going to be a little bit of a race car. And it was going to be like the most epic thing that ever came to be. But when the time actually came to build the piece of wood, he spent so much time on the creating the vision than actually figuring out what manipulating a block of wood looks like. And man, I think it flew off the track before it even made
it down the track, to be honest.
It was too light on the front. And, you know, he was devastated. But, you know, we really loved that opportunity because it helped him to realize that, you know, the world is not just in my head. You know, you got to actually know what to do with what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we're really starting to see in this play spaces, is we're introducing new materials and new things. And it's really cool to see kids get in there and actually, you know, have a safe environment to try and fail and try again. And it's that big try again part that I know that we're both super passionate about.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And so, obviously, today, digital is dominating. You guys talked about how important this physical play is, you know, for them. Where do you see in terms of the overall, even larger, broader impact on the families that are coming in? And what are you kind of seeing there in the stories that must come through the doors of kids throwing parties and birthdays and celebrations, or even just getting together with friends? What does that mean to you guys to see how much physical impact it's having on not just the individual kids, but the entire family and the community?
Yeah, Alex, it's been super rewarding because we have a number of stories and frequent feedback. It's not uncommon for dads or moms to come in, and maybe they're in a skilled trade, or maybe, you know, they just do some other physical work. But they say, this is where it all started for me. I was 2-3 years old and you could not get me out of the sandbox. You could not get me away from the Tonka trucks. Right. And so it's very nostalgic for them. And that's fun to hear. But we also get really rewarded when we see the outcomes and the benefits from the style of play that we're talking about with kids. And so it's things like when, you know, maybe a one-year-old, a new walker, is terrified of sand, right? They've never felt this substance in their life. But 10 minutes later, after trying a few times, it's now the best thing they've ever discovered. Or we produce a number of our own products and toys. And one of them is the sand stacker. It's a conveyor belt based toy.
So fun.
And it's a team based toy. And so you have a group of kids who never knew each other prior to coming to Little Diggers. But they gather around the sand stacker and it's, hey, you dump sand in here and I'm going to crank the handle over here. And suddenly they're a team of kids and they're best friends, you know, 5 minutes later. And so it's that, again, the environment we're able to create with those sort of outcomes is very rewarding.
And you bring up a good point. I mean, it's the key that I'm seeing here is that it's the attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, you guys put a lot of detail and a lot of thought and consideration into every aspect. One of them even being the sand that went inside, you know, the boxes themselves. Tell me a bit about the decisions you guys had to make and how important you think those are to the overall model and success that people are seeing.
Yeah. Go ahead. I think that, you know, the first thing was, as parents, we kind of sat down and tried to work through the things that were important to us, you know, being able to have a space that we felt comfortable going into, being able to see our kids, you know, not losing them somewhere within the facility. And that really directed a lot of the intentional elements that we've put into the space. But when it came to our sand, oh my goodness, I don't think we knew before we started this how many different kinds of sand there were. And I mean, the hours that you spent researching, the number of sand samples that came to our door that we were like evaluating and looking at, but we ultimately settled on a fully non-toxic sand, a sand that is non-silica, which, you know, it's really important for making sure that the space is safe and, you know, you can completely go in there and not have to worry about your kids engaging.
It seems appropriate, given how cold it is outside when we're recording this, to mention that it comes from the Bahamas. So we import the sand. We haven't yet made a visit there to test it in the field, but we should.
It's on our list of business trips
That's
coming
right.
up.
Of course, you got to inspect the product and the source. We got to make sure, you know, it's all coming in as and quality assurance
That's
is there
right.
and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. But you do notice the difference. If you see it, it's very pristine. It's light in color. It's very soft. And as Hannah mentioned, it's non-silica. 99% of the sand in this country is crushed quartz. And, you know, there's some concerns around silica dust and breathing that in. And so, again, in order for kids to thrive, we wanted to make sure that all aspects of the play space, whether it's the sand that we bring in or even the snacks you'll find in our cafe, all dye-free and very most of them organic, is set up for kids to thrive in that way.
And most importantly, you have plenty of caffeine on hand for the parents too,
always.
Right?
Always, yes. We love having coffee available on tap. We've got a nitro cold brew available. And it's not the same thing that you'd find everywhere else. So it's something different that's really fun.
Mm-hmm. We've tried to really create a more premier experience for parents in particular. It'd be very easy and common for us to have went into this and solely focus on the kids. And of course, we want to create a play space that the kids love. However, parents can be overlooked. And being parents ourselves, when you go to some of these places, sometimes you're counting the minutes down before you can leave and get back home. And we wanted to create the opposite experience, where it is actually an opportunity for moms and dads to have even a little bit of relaxation time while their kid is occupied.
That makes a lot of sense. And having been there myself with my own kids, being able to, you know, have a clear line of sight, as you mentioned, being able to have, you know, plenty of room to sit and relax and not be, feel like you have to be on top. But also you guys, I mean, it's pretty collaborative, even if you decide to join in and want to play with them and help them along with it and all of that. And so I think, you know, the environment is very conducive to that. And you already alluded to the fact that you guys kind of are focusing a lot on the toys as well. And tell me about what kind of decisions and what gets cut, what gets kept around the decision around toys that go into the facility.
You know, that's a big part of our long-term strategy as well, right? We recognize that we do need to create some defensibility in our concept. And so just putting toys that you could otherwise find at your local store is not enough for our play spaces. So we have invested heavily and continue to in developing our own unique experiences for our kids and our guests to enjoy. And so we have a number of exciting ones coming down the pipe, but currently, you know, we have the sand stacker we mentioned. We also have released our tower blocks. These are high density foam blocks that are really meant to be building materials along with our building plans that we design to allow kids not just to dig or have fun with trucks, but actually, as Hannah mentioned earlier, create concepts and build. And it's funny you mentioned the parents collaborating, because it's not uncommon that our dads and moms get more lost in the sandbox than what they're building out of our materials.
Cool, I might be guilty of that, actually. Yeah, it might have been
me. That's pretty cool. And so it is collaborative in that way, where if you're having one of those mornings where you just need to be hands off, grab a hot cup of coffee and sit by the side, you can do that. But equally so, if you want to get in there and really enjoy some time with your kids, you can do that as well.
That's incredible. And so now you've kind of worked through a lot of different iterations in the materials that go into it, the toys that go into it. Probably the business model itself has been refined over the years. Now let's talk about the future. What is it that you guys are looking at in the horizon? Toy model being one, that's obviously very critical, just because also if I think every parent knows there's probably not the best options for toys when it comes to sand and digging. Everything looks good. It looks like it's going to work, but the crank doesn't work, or you can't get this to move. So you're looking at it from various angles. I would love to hear more about what you guys are looking at ahead of you, and what does scale look like? What does the future look like? And what is it you guys are going to be gearing towards?
Yeah, Hannah, maybe you can dive in on the brand front specifically with where we're at right now.
Yeah, so we've just had such a positive and explosive response to our brand. And that's been really exciting, you know, starting here in Ohio, and we're rapidly expanding, but just to get messages from people all over the country who are really impacted by it. And so that has been really cool and just really meaningful for us. But we're really leaning into, you know, talking about physical play in a digital world. And so that's something that we're really wanting to talk about and really wanting to create awareness for and really, put that on the forefront of parents' minds everywhere, because it's a concept that really matters to us. And we think it's really beneficial for our kids as they grow up. You know, we want to grow our kids into being problem solvers and be really innovative and be willing to get out there and try stuff without being afraid of it maybe not working out exactly like they want in their head. And so we're really excited as we push into this year to just step into that and really emphasize that more.
Yep. So Hannah's really built a community and continues with her team around specifically that physical play. And on the business model side, I mentioned we've dove into franchising, and that is a whole beast in and of itself. And so we currently have 25 franchise locations that are in the process of opening from around the country. And you're right, you know, they're comes iterations of the business model, of how we support those franchisees, of our real estate process and discovery process, of our architecture and construction process. You know, when you go into scale beyond just a single location, we experience this in our second and third location, and then another one in locations 4, 5, and 6. Not everything you did for those initial locations apply to the future locations. And so it's a mix of really working hard to establish fundamentals up front in terms of that model, but then to be adaptable, right? And recognize when maybe something needs tweaked or changed, or you need to innovate a new way to do something. And so, case in point, our sand installation process, right? The first location, and I don't think I've shared this, but I personally wheelbarrowed in. There's over 50 tons of sand in that facility.
And, I would have loved to see that.
Oh, it was ugly, believe me.
It was one of those moments, which this is like us in a nutshell, where you get to the end of the day and it just has to get done. And when we opened Dublin, I don't think we shared this yet, but we had a 6-week-old baby at the opening time. So she was 2 weeks old and he's like shoveling sand in with a wheelbarrow up ramps.
And it's one of those things where you know what won't scale, right? And I know that. And you're trying to do things that will scale. At the same time, there's a reality at the end of the day, like Hannah said, you have to get things done as an entrepreneur. And so every wheelbarrow I wheelbarrowed into that facility, I thought I won't be doing this in locations 2 through 100. But that's an example of how you do need to adapt as time goes on.
That's incredible. And so as you expand in the franchise model, I'm sure that things like, you know, brand integrity, the experience itself being upheld, and all of these other these things to maintain the magic that happened in those first couple of locations is held throughout the country. What do you look for in those operators? What are you looking for in even the strategy of the location? Give us some insight into how that strategy is working out for you guys.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it requires a lot of intentionality. And that's easy to say. But when you have the momentum we've had and we have a lot of interest on the franchise front, it would be very, very easy to just start shoveling people through the door. And you see that a lot with franchisors. It's really about the sale. And then it's making the sale and saying, well, good luck to you. But we've from day one not wanted to operate that way. It's not, you know, how we want to operate as a business. And so we have really built a very robust and thorough validation journey for our candidates who are interested. And it's a number of conversations we're looking for. At the end of the day, it's not about necessarily how much experience you have on the business front. It's heavily around values alignment. And can you get behind into the world that we're trying to create for our kiddos? Yes, we want to make sure that you have a certain level of acumen, but there's a lot of that we can help you with and make up for. But we want to know, you know, like you said, the brand integrity and the fact that you're going to be hosting thousands of kids in your facility. We want to make sure that every one of our franchisees, you know, shares the same values in that way that we do. So it's a long process. It culminates in us hosting them here in Ohio for a tour of our facility and getting to know them even more personally. But we couldn't be more excited about the franchisees that we've brought into the ecosystem to date. And I would say that those first franchisees are everything. That first five, the first 10 really are going to set the tone for your future franchisees as well.
Yeah. And the franchise model is not for everybody. It is a beast on both sides, no matter which side you're sitting on. What would you say to folks who are thinking about moving into that model? What are some of the things that you would, you know, advise them as they're kind of thinking about, oh, I have a model here. I've got maybe one or two instances of it. And I'm looking at scale. Yeah. And they're thinking about franchise. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I think I look back on the amount of work, Hannah, that we put in to the documentation of not just how to run a facility. There's a lot of that, your operating manual and so on. But being able to articulate, again, your why and why this is a business model that, you know, someone may want to sign on to. And so we put a lot of effort into how do we represent the brand so that others can understand the expectations around the brand. But to your question, if someone's looking to franchise, I think understanding your business at that level, right, being able to communicate some of the deeper motivations behind your business is a necessity before you go try to essentially sell someone on your concept who's going to have those questions around not just how do I run a facility, but why would I choose your facility?
That makes a lot of sense. And as you mentioned earlier, community is a big part of, you know, your either early stage, mid stage, and probably even late stage growth opportunities and how important it is to cultivate the right community. What, tell us a bit about what your community looks like now. Are you looking at now a broader network of folks? How does that play into the roles now? I'm sure at this point, you're probably seeing kind of newer avenues, different things kind of spurring up, even community involvement or other things that kind of branch into this because you're touching the lives of so many families. I'm sure that has, you know, kind of a ripple effect.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that we've noticed is the more that we have grown in that area and become, you know, more communities are aware of us. I think the coolest is that more people have come out of the woodwork wanting to partner with us and wanting to be part of what we're doing. And so, you know, there's a lot of partnership opportunities that aren't a good fit and things that we don't pursue, but there's been ones that have been really exciting and explosive. And so that has been just really encouraging, you know, as we're branching out to these new cities. But I think one of the things that has been most impactful to me, even coming down to more of a granular level, is just the number of individual parents who connect with the concept. It doesn't matter where you're from, you know, you see the concept, you have boys, you're like, my kids would love this. And they take the time to write us messages and they take the time to reach out and they take the time to comment and they'll be like, I would love to see this in my community, or I think what you're doing is so cool. And I think that that from a brand perspective has been, you know, it puts purpose and passion into what's already super exciting that we're doing. And so as we're preparing to open in so many new big cities, it's kind of cool to be able to flip that and be able to have people come to us and be like, come to my city. And then it's like, yes, we are. And we're coming and here's the date. And so I think that it's that hospitality of changing people's lives that in a positive way, giving parents an exciting place to go, giving parents something their kids look forward to, it makes you feel like the hero of the story. I think that's been one of the coolest things to just see as like a wave coming and getting bigger.
Well, you solved the third space problem. I mean, you figured out the spot where where's the third place? I mean, my kids are going to be in school, they're going to be at home, and then where else are they going to go? Mm-hmm. And where can we go together? And where can we both enjoy the time? And that's not easy to find. There aren't very many places like that.
Specifically that last part of where can we both enjoy the time? And we see parents that they may be working on their laptop in our cafe area while their kid's playing. How many places can you do that and still, as we mentioned, have the line of sight and the comfortability that your kiddo is occupied and having a good time? I think one of the best testaments too, though, to how our messaging and community, how it's resonated across our community, is that most of our franchisees represent our customers. I mean, that's what you see. It's people with young families, and they either experienced it themselves or, of course, seen it online, but they identify with it. And so much to the point that they want to have a facility in their community of their own. And so they're willing to partner with us to bring that.
That's so cool. And so now you guys have created this space for these parents and kids to come together and either parallel play or, you know, but what I mean by that is one's working on their laptop, the other one's in the sand, or they collaborate, or they're just, one's enjoying the coffee and, you know, it's just like, there's so many different ways that you can engage with the space. Yeah. But I'm curious about you guys. Where's your space? What is your third space? Because now you guys are, you know, you're building this business together. You guys have seen all the different aspects of it, obviously running through the scalability concerns, growing your own family, scalability of your family, all of these things that are coming together. What are you guys looking for now for yourselves to try to find that space for you guys to really come together and make sure you maintain, you know, that balance between work and relationship and all that?
I wish we had a perfect answer for you. We're still figuring that out, Alex. I'll throw another wrench into there. We homeschool our kids as well. And so our home is Little Diggers. It's family. It's us, our marriage, and it's homeschooling our kids as well. So Anna mentioned that we're renovating our basement. There's a reason for that. We need more space to put the kids in their things. But, you know, we're navigating that. I think that's part of the journey is where is it appropriate to create those boundaries? But then also recognizing that going back to being unconventional, you know, sometimes it's we enjoy the fact that we can at dinner have a work conversation. I know that that's maybe, you know, not for everybody. And I understand that. But because we're so engrossed in it together and we're so aligned, I think, on our mission, it enables maybe more unique times of day and places that we can have some of that crossover. And so I know that we value that, but I think we're growing in that. We're getting better at taking time and saying, nope, not talking work, right? We're going to go do something fun with the kids. And like everything else, it's just has been a matter of being really, really intentional.
That's incredible. And so now, I mean, I can tell that even from reflecting the early days of when you guys started your ventures together and kind of partnering and having the tech background and having the creative background and working and letting those two things work together, it seems like you found that formula again here. And you guys found a way to bring those things together and obviously broaden the scope mm-hmm. and the skill set. But the amount of talent that you guys were able to bring together and to really make this happen, I think can't be understated. So I think that's incredible. I want to kind of end with looking at this from a business, family, community model, right? Break it down for me in these different categories about how you guys are viewing it and what you guys see as sort of, you know, the opportunities that are ahead of you and what does paint the picture of the future in those three categories.
Well, we're not shy about the fact that we have really big ambitions. We count ourselves fortunate to just have that opportunity in front of us. And so I would say that, from the business perspective, we see an opportunity to impact, again, not just the country, but abroad as well in that realm of physical play. So that's where our focus is right now, where Hannah's building the community. And I think what that enables us to do then is to be good stewards of what we've been given for the community at large that we're involved in, whether that's through our church or our friends. Everything that we do and have, we look at as an opportunity to invest in those around us. And so that's probably what gets us most excited about the success that could come on the business front. But all of that to say, family is most important to us. We are excited for what we're showing our kids, can be done. They're as much involved as in the business as, they're the ultimate QA testers of our toys. Mm-hmm. They've got ideas that they throw out at us as well. So again, going back to that blend of how we do this all together, it involves the family, and there's not many unique opportunities business wise where you can say that's true. So I think we love that aspect.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because obviously our entire business is built around families. But if you would come over to our house, you would see that our kids, they play a role. We were shipping out boxes the other day and they're helping assemble and stuff them and pack them up and get the labels on them. We go and
open. Now they went paid. I don't know what that's about. It's not free sandbox time is no longer enough.
We go to location openings and they're there right with us and they have their jobs that they do and they, they do this, that, and then the other thing, and that's how they help get the locations open. And I think it's been really cool for us to kind of invite them in. Typically as parents, your kids kind of have to sit on the outside of everything you do, and they just, maybe they hear about it, but they don't really know. But our kids have this front row seat to participate.
That's incredible. And I commend you guys for bringing the balance of all of these different things that you guys experienced in your lives, the family that you, the time that you wanted to keep with your family, the safe space that you wanted to have. All of those things seem to have come together here in this single venture. And I wish you guys all the best of luck. And I think this is really going to be a huge national hit. I hope you guys will just remember me when you guys hit it really big. I mean, it really has a lot of potential, and it's already showing such massive signs of growth. But I think the most important thing is that you guys have shown that you can balance work, life, and family and relationships in a way that works for you guys, that works for your family, that gets everyone involved, that enriches everyone's lives, and still enriches the community. And not very many people can say that. So congratulations, you guys, on the success so far. And I appreciate you guys joining.